his wounded side I am justified. Not my good, but his mercy I claim. I will stand complete at the mercy seat, cleansed from sin by the blood of the Lamb.
The Lamb.
Once a slave, now free, eyes once blind, now see. Through God's plan, praise the Lamb, I will stand. Now from sin I'm free.
Help me to
to trust in you, to live my life, to honor you, Lord. Keep my focus on you. For your love unreserved, guide me to do your will, to reach love in darkness still, a shining light, burning bright, your plan fulfill, Lord, keep my focus on you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Miss Stevenson. What a blessing. Great song. What an encouragement. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to Psalm chapter number 17. Psalm chapter 17. And my family and I are very glad to be back. We got back Tuesday night very late and back in the office on Wednesday of this past week. But we were glad to be able to be together. We had to kind of take a kind of a different vacation, quicker, because Abby is heading out. We wanted to be together as a family. So we're thankful for that and thankful to be together. And we were in San Antonio, Texas, is where we were at. We went to the Alamo. I want you to know something. All those flags represented volunteers in there. You know, the best volunteer was Tennessee. I just want you to know that, all right? They had the most that came to fight. And I took a picture by the flag of Tennessee inside the Alamo. I wanted to tell everybody in there, I'm from Tennessee, all right? Then my brothers right there, all right? So, but anyway, we had a good time together as a family. Well, tonight, as we come to Psalm chapter 17, I love the book of Psalms. I love God's Word. But Psalm 17 is a very precious psalm, especially for the child of God. Because in this psalm, David is talking about being the apple of God's eye. Now, what does it mean to be the apple of someone's eye? The word there literally means the little man of the eye. The very thought is that if you look at someone intently, you can literally see yourself within the pupil of their own eye. Now, the apple of someone's eye is, I guess, best described by maybe a newborn for their parents. I hope they don't mind me saying something, but Mark and Sierra, of course, they're here, and they have little Mark Alex Jr., all right? And you pray for the boy. His dad's a Michigan fan, all right? So we just pray for him. And anyway, and but this morning, of course, they were in Sunday school. I was surprised to see them, but I'm so thankful they came. And, of course, Mark, he's back here tonight, right? And but it was just something in Sunday school. I'm up there teaching, and Mark and Sierra in the back. Mark is holding the baby, and Sierra is just watching the baby. And the smile on her face, can I tell you, to her, that little baby is the apple of her eye. Her attention, the focus. And David here is saying that to God, he is the apple of God's eye. And tonight, that's what I'm going to preach to you on this subject, the apple of God's eye. Let's come to Psalm 17, and I want us to read this precious psalm together. There's 15 verses, and may the Lord use it in our hearts tonight. Psalm 17, verse number 1. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now we go back to verse number 8, where David said, keep me as the apple of the eye. Would you join me in prayer, and let's pray together this evening. Father, Lord, this psalm is so precious to me, and Lord, as I read it, it encourages my heart. And Lord, I pray as David prayed, Lord, keep me as the apple of thine eye. Lord, thank you to know that you love us and your eye is upon us and we can trust you tonight. And Lord, I pray you bless this service. I pray you'll do a work that needs to be done in all of our hearts. If it's a work of comfort, Father, do that work. If it's a work of conviction, then convict us. And Lord, do a work of convincing us of thy truth. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When David said, God, keep me as the apple of thine eye, what was David referring to? We understand the context of Psalm chapter 17 is that David is being pursued by King Saul. Now, we understand that David was a man after God's own heart, and Saul was a man that was not after God's own heart. We know that what happened to David was not fair. It was unjust. By the way, do you know that there's something about all of us, because we are made in the image of God, and God is a God of justice, that we often struggle when injustice is done to us? Because we are made in his image, and we understand when there has been injustice. And David here, it is unjust what is happening to him. He is being pursued by a man, and David has done nothing wrong. David did nothing to get the kingdom. David was a man truly that was seeking to follow the Lord. But in the midst of all of this, David is praying to God, and David says, God, keep me as the apple of thine eye. In a sense, David was saying, God, I'm so confused about what is going on, and I am so overwhelmed by the circumstances. I need to know that your eye is upon me. I need to know that I am very precious in your eye. In fact, when David said the apple of the eye, David was implying that God was keeping an eye on him to protect him and keeping an eye on him to guard him and to watch over him. And I'm going to tell you this, it does a great thing for each and every one of us when we understand that the eye of God is upon us. His eye is upon us. And not just that God's eye is upon us in a sense that we think the Lord is waiting for us to do something wrong so he can judge us or chasten us. That is not how God does us. He does chasten us in his loving kindness. But His eye is upon us out of love, out of adoration, if you want to say it that way. His eye is looking upon us as a mother would look upon the eye of her newborn baby as she is gazing upon it. She is thinking upon it. She loves that little baby. I remember when my wife and I, when God allowed us to have our first baby, was Abby, and I remember what it was like after the baby was born, and the doctors brought the little baby in after all, they did all the measurements and weighing and all of that, and my wife and I both were able to hold her in our arms. There's nothing quite like that, is there? Every mother here understands that. Every parent knows what it is. And there's something precious about that, to look upon that child and your eye is upon them out of love, out of care, and you would do anything to protect that little child. That is how God looks upon each and every one of us tonight because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Yeah. Folks, because of Christ, we are the apple of God's eye. You know, the truth of the matter is, David is saying, God, I need to know that you regard me tenderly. I need to know, God, that you see me and all that is transpiring in my life. By the way, have you had times in life when you think, God, do you see? Lord, do you know what is going on in my life? Do you understand? And in David's case, David was saying, God, do you see what Saul is doing to me? Do you hear what he is saying about me? And David here understood something under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that David said, God, keep me as the apple of thine eye. I'm going to give you three simple thoughts tonight. I pray that God can help us as we think tonight. I'll be honest with you, this message helps me. Because I want to know that God's eye is upon me. And brethren, tonight, no matter who you are as a child of God, the eye of God is upon you. And He looks upon you with tenderness, with care. He has such a great plan for your life. We are the apple of God's eye. Number one tonight, I want you to notice in David thinking about this subject, David replies that our God hears us. Now look back in verse number one. We're going to work our way through this psalm tonight. But notice what he says. He says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. David was saying, God, I am speaking to you truth. It is not deceit within my heart. It's not out of feigned lips. God knew the sincerity of David. And by the way, God knows when we come to Him in sincerity of heart and we pour our heart out to Him, God knows that. Listen, He knows our hearts like nobody else knows them. He sees the inward part like no man can see. You know, the truth of the matter is, my wife and I, she knows me like nobody else knows me, and I know her like nobody else knows her. But there is a part of my heart that I cannot see, that she cannot see. I cannot see that part in her heart, and she cannot see it in mine. But God sees that private, secret place of our heart where often we hurt and nobody else knows. God sees that part. And David here is saying, God hears me. Folks, I want you to know something tonight. We have a God in heaven who hears us. Aren't you thankful tonight to know that God hears you? Amen. He is listening. Have you ever talked to someone before and you knew they were not listening to you? How many have ever had that happen to you before? We all have we not? We know, and we almost, it's kind of hard because we know they're not listening. But God always has His ear ready to hear you and me. In fact, in this first verse here, David asks three times for God to hear him. And I want you to know something. Through the trials of life, through the circumstances that we deal with, one of the greatest comforting things to know is that God hears us. Amen. He hears us. When we talk to Him, He hears us. And the comfort to know, because we are the apple of God's eye, God hears us. In fact, do you know that a baby's cry is very unique to that baby? In fact, did you know that a baby's cry matches its mother's language. In fact, they've studied babies crying. In fact, a newborn child just 2 or 3 days old cries in a distinctive way, mimicking the sound of its mother. I can still remember sitting on the platform as an assistant pastor in Illinois, and the nursery was not too far, kind of like the nurseries here. I mean, sometimes I know mamas, how many mamas can hear your baby cry in the nursery? Would you lift your hand? Sure they can, you know? And I remember being on the platform, the preacher's preaching, and I could hear a cry, and I would look down because I couldn't tell if it was our child or someone else's child. I didn't care about someone else's child, just my child, all right? You understand what I'm saying? And I would look down at my wife, and she would say, "No, that's not ours, all right?" I'd be like, "Okay, good, fine. I don't care if they kill one another as long as it's not my kid, all right?" You know? But you know, the truth of the matter is, a baby, as doctors tell us, has its own cry melody. It is distinct to that baby. It is unique to them. But can I tell you what we as God's people have? Do you know that God knows our unique cry? We have a unique cry. You say, "Pastor, what is this unique cry?" Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. As children of God, we have our own distinctive cry. And our cry is found in Romans chapter number 8. In fact, there's only one other person that has ever had this distinct cry, and it was our Savior, Jesus Christ. When He walked upon the face of the earth, in fact, not long before He was to go to the cross and die for the sins of all mankind, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that Jesus cried, and He cried with great sweat drops of blood. Do you know what His cry was? It's the same cry that you and I make as children of God. Romans chapter number 8, let's begin in verse number 14. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Let's read on in verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Do you know that we have a unique cry that God hears, that God understands, that God knows every reason why we are crying out to Him, and that cry is Abba, Father. Now, what is that cry? The word Abba literally means daddy. In fact, when the King James translators were translating the Bible into the English language, they left the word Abba. They left it alone. They did not translate it because it was so precious to them. The cry that you and I make to our Heavenly Father is Abba, Father. It's a cry of dependence. It's a cry that we need our Heavenly Father. And can I tell you something? It's the cry of distress. And when Jesus was in the garden and as He was praying to His Father, it was a cry of distress to His Father, a cry of dependence upon His Father. And the cry, the Bible says in Mark chapter 14, was Abba, Father. And let me tell you something. It is one of the great privileges of being a child of God that when God adopts us as His sons or daughters, He sends His Spirit into our heart, causing us to cry out, Abba, Father. I don't know about you, but when I am in distress, can I tell you something? I cry out to God. God hears that prayer. Oh, many times throughout my life, there's been times when I've got alone, I said, "God, I cannot make it unless You help me. Lord, You know the circumstances surrounding me. Lord, You know what is happening. Lord, You know the hurts, the wounds, the injustice, the trials. God knows all about that. He hears our distinct cry. The Lord hears us." Folks, tonight, you are the apple of God's eye. You know, sometimes I think we have this thought that we got to get God's attention. You don't have to get God's attention. You have His attention tonight. In fact, you have His undivided attention tonight because we are the apple of God's eye. And David said, God, keep me as the apple of your eye. Lord, help me to remember that you are looking upon me. You see all that I'm going through. You understand everything. God hears us. You know what? If we were convinced that God heard us, we would pray. I think sometimes we don't think God hears us. In fact, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will what? Answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God said, I'm waiting. His eye is upon us. He hears us. And by the way, tonight, if you're not a child of God, you will not make this sound of Abba, Father. You will not turn in dependence upon God. You'll cry, but because God isn't your father or you His child, your cry will sound quite different. In fact, you say, what are you talking about? You see, God's adopted children, and if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're one of God's adopted children. We have a distinctive cry, and we cry in response to life's challenges and life's difficulties, we cry out to God. Often when people are not children of God, their cry is anger at God. Their cry is that God has failed them somehow. But for the child of God, we know that God is our only hope. God is our only answer. Folks, have you listened to your cry lately? You know, sometimes I'm afraid, even for the child of God, that sometimes we have a cry of grumbling. We have a cry of complaining. We have a cry that is not Abba, Father, a cry of dependence upon God. You know where God wants to bring each and every one of us? To that place of dependence upon Him. There's a part of our human nature that we want to live in independence of God. By the way, prayer is a declaration of our dependence upon God, but our lack of praying is really a sign of our independence of God. David is saying, our God hears us. You know, it is really impossible to be a man after God's own heart, as David was, unless we are a person of prayer. Go back, if you would please, to Psalm chapter number 17, and I want you to notice this. By the way, if a man says that he loves the Lord and that he follows the Lord and he desires to be the apple of God's eye, and yet he is not a person who prays, he is speaking with feigned lips. And that's what David said in the end of verse number 1. He said, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. David is saying, God, I want to be the apple of your eye. And God, I pray unto you. Let's go on, if you would please, to verse number 2. And David goes on to say, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. You know, David here was not saying that he was sinless. None of us will reach that place until we get to heaven. David was not saying that he was sinless, but David was being falsely accused. Saul was saying all kinds of things about David, and Saul stirred up the people about David and that David was trying to steal the kingdom, and Saul was not a man after God's own heart. David did not lift a finger to sit on the throne of Israel, but David was purposed to rest his case with God, and he was purposed that his mouth would not transgress. By the way, I think that's so important. During times of trial, in fact, the book of James tells us to guard our tongue, especially during a time of trial, because sometimes we can say things that we will regret later because of a time of trial. And David was saying, God, I'm resting my case with you. I just don't want my mouth to transgress. In fact, David would not attempt to defend himself before men, but he would allow God to intervene. In fact, I'm reminded of Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, where it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Can I encourage you with something tonight? Let God fight for you. You know, we want to defend ourselves, do we not? Let God fight for you. Why? Because God hears us. His ear is bent to you and me. He hears us. Look in verse number 4. He said, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, that's the word of God, the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Now look, folks, we have a destroyer tonight. He wants to destroy each and every one of us. He is our great enemy, the devil himself. And David is saying, during this time of trial, it is the word of thy lips that has kept me from the path of the destroyer. What the devil wants to do. And by the way, the devil wants to use the trial in your life to destroy you. And God desires to use that trial to build you, to grow you in his likeness. By the way, some Christians become very bitter. They're angry at God. They're angry. They're bitter. And can I tell you what it is? They have not allowed God to give them the grace that is needed during that time of trial. We see, number one, that our God hears us. Number two, our God holds us. Now, this is very precious. We come to verse number 5. David said, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. David not only said, God, hear me, but God, hold me. Hold me. Now, David was saying, God, whatever it takes to keep me in thy paths, hold me. By the way, do you know something tonight that often I have thought, Lord, I want to finish well. I don't know how long the Lord will give me to live here on this earth and to get to serve him, but I want to finish well. And how are each of us going to finish the journey that God has for us? How are we going to remain true and steadfast? In fact, the Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because it's easy to be moved. It's easy to get to the place where you're not steadfast. And the Bible says to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And folks, it is that we need to know that God is holding us. I remember when our kids were real little, and oftentimes we'd be in places that were a little dangerous, you know, maybe there was something they could fall or whatever it may be. And boy, I'll tell you something, I held on to them tightly. You know why? Because I'm protecting them. Hold close, stay close to me. And boy, there were some times when I would literally hold them. You know what God does for you and me? He holds us. David is saying, our God holds us. Are you willing for God to hold you tonight? Are you willing for the Lord to keep you in his path? Do you know that you need the Lord to hold you? Brethren, I'll tell you something. Not a one of us here tonight can keep ourselves on the right path. I'm talking about the path that God wants us to be upon. We like sheep have gone astray. Listen, we are still sheep. Tonight, you're either a saved sheep or you're a lost sheep. But tonight, it's easy to get off the path. We get discouraged. We get our eyes off of our heavenly shepherd, and we can get off the path. We need to know tonight that we need God to hold us, and we draw nigh to him because, listen, our human heart, the Bible says that it can deceive us. We are desperately wicked in our hearts, and we need to know that God is holding us. By the way, there is a great peace and a great comfort to know that we are being held by the Lord. Folks, we live in a world that is literally out of control. I mean, listen, God's on the throne, but this world, it seems like it's getting worse and worse as time goes by. In fact, the Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We live in a world that wants no restraints. No restraints, no rules, no guidelines, no Bible, no God, nothing. They're unleashed. How are we going to do what God wants us to do? We need tonight to understand we need God to hold us. There's times when I've said, Lord, hold me. You know, I'll be honest with you. There's times when I've gone to the Lord and said, God, I have fears. You have fears tonight? There's times I have fears. And I say, Lord, I just want to crawl up in your lap and let you hold me. Oh, there's nothing quite like that. That peace, that comfort, that assurance to know that God not only hears us, but God holds us. Folks, if we allow Him to hold us in place, to hold up our goings, we will have so much less to apologize for and so much less to regret as the days go on. Let us draw nigh to Him, because our God hears us, our God holds us. And number three, our God hides us. Look in verse number 8. We go to this verse now, and notice what he says. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. In closing, as we go there, Colossians chapter number 3. And I want you to know this precious passage that we find here. By the way, can I tell you something tonight? The devil would love to take the child of God to hell. He would love that, but he cannot get the child of God to hell. Can I tell you why? Because we are hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden with Him. In fact, Colossians chapter 3 talks about this. It begins in verse number 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Brethren, tonight, I want you to know something. We are hidden with Christ. He is the one that is holding us. He is the one that protects us. And David here is understanding something about God. And by the way, we often learn a lot about the Lord during times of tragedy and times of difficulty and times of injustice. That's often when we can truly draw nigh to God. By the way, God did not author what Saul was doing to David. God is not the author of any evil or any injustice that is done to you and me, but God allowed it. And by the way, the providence of God, I don't understand His providence and His sovereignty, but God allows things in our lives that we think, Lord, I don't want that. By the way, have you ever, maybe God's allowed something and you think, Lord, don't need this and don't want it. We often think that way, don't we? Lord, this is not a good thing. This is not what I need. But wait a minute, He is our Heavenly Father. He knows us better than anybody else, and He often allows things to our life that He did not author, but they came through His loving hands. And I believe that specifically about David. David was a man after God's own heart, and we almost think, Lord, why did you allow Saul to hunt him and pursue him and the injustice that was done to David? And yet, in the midst of all this, David is drawing closer and closer to God. He is learning to be dependent upon God. And that is where God wants each and every one of us, to where we are crying out to Him, Abba, Father. We know that He hears us, that He holds us, but He hides us. Folks, can I encourage you tonight to know that you are hidden with Christ? We are not alone. We are not spiritual orphans here on earth. We have a God who is with us. He promised us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Tonight, let us know that we are the apple of God's eye. You know what that does for me? That causes me to have such gratitude to God. Lord, thank you that you love me enough to hold me, to hide me, and to hear me. And then that causes me to want to be close to Him, because that God who loves me so much is a God who knows all things. He's working all things together for my good. Tonight, do you realize that you're the apple of God's eye? Let's draw nigh to Him tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you to know that we are the apple of your eye. Lord, we don't deserve that. God, how we need to know that you're looking upon us, that you hear us and hold us, and that you hide us. Father, I don't know what your people may be going through. Lord, tonight may we draw nigh to you. May we find comfort and strength knowing that you love us and you're at work in our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Preacher, God has spoken to me. about something specific in my own life tonight. He's dealt with me. Would you lift your hand and hold it high? Pastor, God spoke to me. He helped me. Amen. Well, let's turn to Him tonight. Independence. As we cry out, Abba, Father. He's our Father. He's our Daddy. We can trust Him. He hears us tonight. Talk to Him. He holds us tonight. You are being held, and He hides us. He's the one who protects us. Let's stand together, would you please? And let's finish this prayer, and then let's let the Lord have His way in our hearts. Father, we thank You for Your precious word tonight that we can read. And Lord, thank You that we truly are the apple of Your eye. Lord, I don't understand Your love for us. I can't fathom it, but thank You for Your love. Lord, we cannot stay on the right path without You. God, we need to know that You hear us and hold us and hide us. Guide this service in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals tonight and let's go to hymn number 546. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The Lord has dealt with you tonight. Find a place at the altar to pray. Turn to Him. He hears you. Hymn number 546. Let's sing it together. Being here today. The Lord has given us a good day and special morning with John Warman and his granddaughter getting baptized. That was great, and we thank God for His faithfulness. I pray you'll be here Wednesday night for a midweek service, and let's ask God to work in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. It has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank You for Your work in our hearts. Lord, we look to You. Lord, thank You that You hear us and hold us and hide us. Lord, truly, we are the apple of Your eye. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.